This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So as I normally do at this portion of the show, I'll ask Chris Bohlig, and Jed Marshall knows that I do this every show. Who is this?
It's a group called Pond. They're from Australia, Perth.
Okay,
Australia,
I like that.
And they're kind of just like a, you know, a nice kind of, just a mix of different things, but alternative group that.
Okay, I like that.
I like them a lot.
That was a good open.
Yeah.
I like that. Good stuff. So you and you're falling right in line with Jed. You play stuff that I don't necessarily know, but then I end up liking.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to keep it casual and try to keep it fun.
Yeah, you know? Switch it up. That's all right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com.
Okay.
It's a rainy, and I'll just tell Chris, your mic is open, Chris. I can hear you talking. It's a rainy Saturday morning in Kansas City, and this is the way weekends go for us, okay? Whenever we have the radio show, if it's snowing, it's on the weekends. If it's raining, it's on the weekends. It does it during the week, too, but we always get something on the weekends. We just never have a crisp, clear day. It just doesn't happen. Or if we do, it's minus 20 degrees.
I mean, as long as it's not snow, I'm okay. I mean, I'm okay if it's – I'm glad it's, you know, going to be between, you know, 40 and 50 degrees above freezing. So that's okay with me.
And the rain is helping melt the snow that is still left. I was going to try to get some – yard work done because it's long overdue, but with the rain, that's just not going to happen. And my complaint remains the same. I was driving in at 7 o'clock this morning. Chris, you get here much earlier on Saturday. What, like 5 or 6?
Usually like 5:30.
5:30. So people in the rain at 7 o'clock this morning. It's still dark. Driving without the headlights on. I mean, come on. Do we need to have this conversation all the time? Turn the headlights on. It's not that hard. It's really not. It's really not. So we have a good show lined up for you today, now that I'm done complaining about people driving without their headlights on in the rain and the dark. Good show lined up for you today. Coming up here, in just a few minutes, about 15, 20 minutes, Matt Verderam from fansided.com will join us. He writes about the Chiefs and the entire National Football League. He was at the Combine last week. He's working his sources on more stories, and we'll talk to Matt about the Chiefs, in particular, Carlos Hyde, running back from the Jaguars, is reportedly visiting the Chiefs today at Arrowhead Stadium. And the Chiefs are also hosting a regional combine today. If you don't know much about this, this is for the guys who did not get invited to the NFL combine in Indianapolis. There are teams that will then host a regional combine. They'll invite players from, you know, the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10, guys that might be overlooked a little bit, and they're going through a combine at Arrowhead Stadium today. And our good friend Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is out there today, and he's been tweeting about it. So follow Matt Derrick, at Matt Derrick, for updates on the regional combine and stuff on Carlos Hyde, if we get any news about that. I don't think Carlos Hyde has officially been cut yet. I think it was a situation where the Jaguars said, well, we're going to cut you, so go ahead and start the free agency tour. So Carlos Hyde, running back, will be reportedly visiting with the Chiefs today. So at 9:30, Matt Verderam, or maybe 9:25, Matt Verderam, right about there, ballpark it. At 10:30, Matt Galloway, CJOnline.com, will join us. We'll talk Kansas basketball as they get set to host Baylor. We'll talk Big 12 as well. Our show today is going up till 11:30, and that's when we hand it off to the KU Network pregame show, and then Kansas at Baylor at 1 o'clock.
From Learfield, IMG Sports.
There you go. It's the longest title. Every college sports network now has a name that's like 15 words long. And I'm not, you know, like NFL quarterbacks who have to belt out a play that might be 20 words long. I'm not good at remembering all that. I need a note card. So Kansas, we'll see if they're amped up today. This is normally the senior day for the Kansas Jayhawks, but they have no seniors. LeGerald Vick will not be in Lawrence today. At least that's what Bill Self told us this week. Maybe he sneaks in at the last minute. I'm not sure. He's been dealing stuff for the last few weeks.
Doubtful.
So we'll see if he shows up. It's interesting the way the schedule sets up this week, in that it's much like last week in terms of competing for the Big 12 championship. So last week, we had Kansas playing at 11 o'clock with K-State and Texas Tech sitting there watching them, or watching the result to see if Kansas was going to lose and if they had a chance to step up and put themselves in a position to win a Big 12 championship this week. So last week, Kansas played at 11, and K-State, I believe, played at 7 o'clock. So they had a long time. K-State had a long time to see KU had gotten blown out at Oklahoma and kind of think to themselves, wow, here's our chance. And they did it. K-State did what they needed to do, and so did Texas Tech. So today, the schedule sets up similar for K-State. Texas Tech plays at Iowa State at 1 o'clock. And then Oklahoma is in Manhattan at 5 o'clock. So K-State, again, will know what they have to do to get what they want. Either an outright Big 12 championship or a shared Big 12 championship.
I mean, I think even at that, it's, you know, senior day for a very, you know, special
senior. Oh, well, the Wildcats, yeah.
For, I mean, so even if, you know, even if Texas Tech wins, there's still added motivation.
Right.
It's not like there's... You know, they want to go out, you know, with a win going into the Big 12 tournament, you know, take that momentum, you know, into the postseason.
Yeah. Here's the wrinkle in it. Texas Tech at Iowa State. Iowa State's been the Jekyll and Hyde team of the season in the Big 12. They should have a much better record than they have just based on their talent and what we saw going back in January. But they've fallen off a cliff. They've lost four of their last five games. Four of five.
I mean, this was a team, you know, early February, you know, late January, that you were thinking, okay, this is the team that's going to knock off and end the streak and knock off the Jayhawks and end the streak. But just a bad series of, you know, the last like 3 weeks is just not the same Iowa State team that, you know, you saw blowing out K-State earlier in the year.
Even through this whole streak of Kansas winning Big 12 championships, the 14 straight, through most of that, they still had to finish strong. There was no limping to the finish line. And Iowa State, they're limping to the finish line. They're not playing good. They're not playing good basketball. They've lost four of five. You don't win Big 12 championships. You're not competing for Big 12 championships when you lose four of five in February and March.
Yeah, and I mean, if you watch Iowa State, you know, they roll with a smaller lineup, you know, four-guard lineup. And
they like to bomb
and they like
threes.
To shoot threes. And
yes.
Once again, there's, you know, a cliche saying, you live by the three and you die by the three. That's, you know, what they said about old Duke teams back in you know, the mid-2000s.
Right.
And that's what Iowa State is doing right now. And that's not uncommon, because we've seen this even with the old Iowa State coach.
Fred Hoiberg?
Yeah, Fred Hoiberg. Even his teams had, you know, a little bit of that in them as well. So it's not like we haven't seen this before. And when you do that and you don't play good defense and you give up a lot of points, then of course that's going to happen.
Yeah. Iowa State has no interest in playing defense. None. They just don't. On the other side, so Texas Tech is at Iowa State against the Cyclones team that is blown the tires. Apparently they've been driving on the streets of Kansas City hitting potholes. The other side, Oklahoma at K-State tonight at 5. Oklahoma has won 4 of 5. And this was a team that I can only speak for myself. I left for dead 4 weeks ago. I didn't think they were a very good team. I thought they were underperforming based on their talent level and their coach, Lon Kruger, who I think is a really good coach. They were underperforming. But Oklahoma's won 4 of 5. And absolutely destroyed Kansas last weekend. So K-State's at home. It's the senior day for Dean Wade, Barry Brown, Kamile Stokes. So they got motivation, but they've got a red-hot Oklahoma team coming in. So it all sets up for an exciting final day of the Big 12 regular season and then seeding for the Big 12 tournament next week here in Kansas City, which could be the most wide-open Big 12 tournament we've had, because the motivations are different for every team. Kansas is always kind of seen as the team, and look, I don't believe this. I'm just telling you what it appears at times. It appears Kansas comes to the Big 12 tournament thinking or playing like, we already know we're getting a 2 or 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. We really don't need to win the whole thing. We'll play hard, but if we don't win, no big deal. This year, I don't know what Kansas is going to get. 4 seed? 3 seed? 4 seed? I'll have to check Joe Lunardi here. He's been updating his bracketology more often the last couple of weeks. It seems like Lunardi's kind of slacked off a little bit this season. He doesn't update it quite as much.
7 teams from the Big 12.
So
8 teams like a week and a half ago.
Yep.
And I was like, a 16-14 Texas team, I don't think deserves to make it into the big dance. But maybe, you know, with the new net evaluation
right.
and different, you know, analytical.
It'll be interesting
stuff,
to see how that plays out. Because they don't have to live in.
They don't use RPI anymore. It's
right.
just the net.
But the selection committee does not have to 100% go with that. That's kind of their
That's
guidepost.
That's their baseline.
There's a guidepost. Yeah, baseline. So Texas is a 10 right now. KU is a 4 seed, according to Joe Lunardi's bracketology right now. So this Big 12 tournament might mean a little bit more to Kansas. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday on Between the Lines when I was on with Kevin Keatsman. We were doing a remote at Big O Tires in Kansas City. By the way, if you've been hitting those potholes and your tires are banged up and you at least want to get them checked or you think you might need a couple of new tires, go visit Big O Tires. Good client of ours. So Kansas might be a little more motivated. And the point I brought up yesterday with Kevin with Kansas is, from their perspective, this would be a big thing for the young guys on the team because they've been rolling out 4 freshman starters for most of the second half of the season. They don't know what it's like to win or lose a Big 12 championship, and they've already lost the regular season. But the Big 12 tournament, if you're talking about, you know, Ochai Agbaji, who's a Kansas City kid, who just had the red shirt taken off in early January. He's not even halfway into his freshman season. You're talking about, you know, Devon Dotson, who's been terrific this season. You're talking about Quentin Grimes, who started off very slow, underperforming based on our expectations. He's been playing well the last week and a half, 2 weeks. You look at those freshmen, and making a big run of the Big 12 championship would be a big confidence boost for them, going both into the NCAA tournament and going into next season.
And I'm not saying they haven't been motivated in the past to win the Big 12 tournament, but
it just hasn't been the biggest, most important thing.
I think, you know, once you've, you know, completed a hard regular season of, you know, a grueling conference play and you've won it,
right,
you know, for 14 straight years,
right,
that's like your main thing. The Big 12 tournament comes second, but maybe this year, you know, maybe with that KU team having an unsavory taste in their mouth,
right,
after not getting that regular season Big 12 championship and being the team, you know,
right,
all the former players like, oh, that's the you know, feeling that kind of, you know, emptiness,
right,
of not winning, you know, the regular season championship might give him a little extra fire to go in and, you know, rattle off, you know, I think 3 straight,
mm-hmm,
to win the Big 12 championship tournament.
Right. So I like this. And you know, throw in David McCormick as well. He's been slow. He's been off and on at times. He's not going to be a guy who's going into the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA expecting more than 4 points, but you might expect 5 or 6 rebounds a game. It's big for him. So Kansas' motivation is, in my opinion, get these freshmen a little confidence boost, go win something since you didn't win the Big 12 regular season championship. For K-State, I think it's just adding on. If they win either an outright or a share of the Big 12 regular season championship today, I think they want to go back it up. And I think their seniors, Dean Wade, Barry Brown, Kamile Stokes, if you can win 2 championships in a week's time, that's huge. And it kind of puts the stamp on where they should be going into the NCAA tournament. And K-State right now, according to Joe Lunardi and Bracketology, is a 4 seed. They would be matched up with Vermont out in San Jose in the first round. Ooh. By the way, if you're a K-State fan looking for a road trip, San Jose, spectacular.
Be very nice. I know a few people that are from that, you know,
yes,
area, just south of San Francisco, and
yep,
it's a very, very nice
it's
city.
It's awesome. I'm not sure about this time of year. But
sure, it's very mild.
But
maybe
you're there.
Maybe a little rain.
Ocean's there.
Yep. Also, what I was going to say, if it does come down to it and you do, I'm not sure because still there's seeding to be, you know, made up from this weekend for the Big 12 tournament. But how great would it be to have a KU-K-State Big 12 championship?
Oh, sure.
Like, that would be great for the city, and it would pack, you know, pack Sprint Center, Power and Light. It'd be great for the city.
There are a couple of groups. There are multiple groups who would be interested in seeing that. One would be the fans of Kansas and K-State, primarily. The players as well, coaches. Two would be Sprint Center. Even though they already sell a ton of tickets, you want the best show. Because if you get like a Texas Tech versus... I'll pick your... Texas Tech versus Texas. I'm not sure what the seeds are right now. That'll all shake out today, but you might not get as full a house for that. If Iowa State was in the championship, which I don't think they will, that would also be a big boost. Also, the Greater Kansas City Sports Commission. It'd be great for them because they put this stuff together. They help ensure that the Big 12 championship stays in Kansas City. I'm sure Kathy Nelson and her team over there would love to see KU and K-State in the championship. That'd be awesome. So we talked about KU's motivation, K-State's motivation with their seniors and possibly winning two championships in a week. That's the same story for Texas Tech. They could win two championships in a week, either a share of the regular season or an outright regular season championship, then go back. And I think Texas Tech is the most talented team going in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this team, sometimes we forget about Texas Tech just because, you know, they're in Lubbock, they're in Texas, you know, not really part of
– right.
You know, the KU, K-State, Iowa State.
They're not in
up
sphere
here.
Of influence.
Yeah, and this is a team that went to the Elite Eight last year.
Right.
They know how to win games. They
right.
they are very experienced. They were, you know, they I believe it was they played Villanova last year in the Elite Eight,
right.
and they took them, they played them very well
yep.
in the Elite Eight. So I'm sure they have a bad taste in their mouth, and they want to, you know, try to get back to the second game of the second weekend in the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. And they were, you know, that's a program. When Bob Knight was at the end there, they were on the way down. It was not a good situation. And then Pat Knight took over, and that was a disaster. So after the Knights were swept out, it was like, wow, is Texas Tech ever going to be anything again? I mean, who wants to go to Lubbock, Texas to coach? Now, it's a Power 5 school in the Big 12, so there's appeal, there's lure. But if you're looking at it, you know, if you're not Chris Baird, if you're other, you know, other coaches on the way up, well, I don't know. If I go to the Big 12, I'm not gonna be able to beat Kansas, and you know, it's all KU all the time. Chris Baird took on the challenge, and now he's on the verge of a Big 12 regular season championship, outright or shared. I always have to put that qualifier on it. Whatever. So they've built it back up into something pretty darn good. That's a good job now. Not to say it wasn't a bad job before, but it's a good job. You build yourself into a team that can compete for conference championships in the Big 12. You're in a good spot. Get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. Let me see where Texas Tech is slated right now. By the way, I can't believe Iowa State, according to Joe Lunardi, would be a 5 seed right now. The way they're playing, that's got to change.
Seems
right?
like a Big 12 inflation for this year
yes.
for some reason.
See, Texas Tech is slated right now to be a 3 seed. Going to Tulsa in the Midwest region to play Georgia Southern. I could see them sneak into a 2 seed based on what they do today and maybe what they do next week in Kansas City. Maybe.
And it also depends on nationally what other teams
right.
do in their conference tournaments.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, you got to think about Big Ten, ACC. So.
Yep, I mean, absolutely.
Talking about, you know, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina. Two of those are probably going to be a 1 seed, Gonzaga.
Speaking of Duke, North Carolina, I was listening to the Sports Center at the top of the hour, and they were talking about Zion Williamson not playing today for Duke. I think this is his 5th straight game he's going to miss. And they got a quote from, I think, the team trainer saying, well, you know, he really wants to play. He doesn't want to be sitting out like everybody says and, you know, getting ready for the draft. They're still trying to make Zion Williamson part of the story. And I guess he is, because by not being there, Duke has not played all that well. And they probably also want to keep the NCAA thinking, the selection committee thinking, well, he might play because the NCAA will dock you if your best player is out. They've done it. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. When we come back, it's Chiefs football. We're going to speak with Matt Verderam from fansided.com. Covers the Chiefs, covers the National Football League. Of course, he had the big tweet last week about Justin Houston saying he believes the Chiefs will cut him, which some people interpreted that it was already done. Folks, you got to read this stuff. If somebody says they're expecting to make a move, that doesn't mean it's done. Just like everybody jumped on Ian Rapoport this week about the Antonio Brown to the Bills story. He never said it was a done deal. But everybody piled on. Ah, he was wrong. He didn't say it was done. So Matt Verderam went through that last week with the Justin Houston tweet. Never said it was a done deal. Just saying he expects it to happen. So Matt Verderam will talk about Carlos Hyde, the running back visiting the Chiefs today, reportedly, whether or not the Chiefs, he would fit with the Chiefs, could be signed by the end of the day. We'll talk about the combine, the one in Indianapolis, as well as the regional one, and we'll talk about free agency. So Matt Verderam next, talking Chiefs football. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. You can follow him, at Chris underscore Bohlig. And you're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810. Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB on a rainy Saturday morning in Kansas City. If it's not snowing, it's raining. That's basically where we are right now. We get precipitation every weekend. It's not snowing, it's raining, and the raining is helping melt the snow, and it's all good. Whatever. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and our guest for this segment is our good friend Matt Verderam from fansided.com, who's had a very busy couple of weeks. Well, there's no offseason in football, so I can't imagine a time when you're not busy, but with the combine, you were at the combine in Indianapolis, and now free agency hit this week, and Matt, there's just no time to take a break.
No, there's not. It's been very busy. You think that when the Super Bowl happens, I think the tendency is to kind of take a breath, and then you realize you really can't until about May 1st.
Right. I know in the sports business, we always think there's going to be this break, you know, either at the end of baseball season or, you know, after the Super Bowl. Or really, the only time you get a little bit of a slowdown is after the Final Four, and then you're into baseball and the daily grind of that. So that's the only time you can take a little bit of a deep breath, but it still goes on. It's all right.
I'm obviously only covering the NFL, but I pretty much love every sport there is. I've got a team in it, so I'm always nervous or anxious about something. It's just a pure fan of the sports. But this week coming up, this is a fun time because you start to see a lot of movement in the NFL, start to see some seismic shifts with a few different teams, and I always find it fun to just kind of see how it shakes out.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Verderam from fansided.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam, and I'll spell it for you, V-E-R-D-E-R-A-M-E. Great follow. I guess let's start with that free agency because that's where we are right now, and let's start right here with our Kansas City Chiefs. News kind of leaked out last night that Carlos Hyde, free agent running back, is visiting the Chiefs today on Saturday and possibly could lock up maybe a one-year deal. Personally, I'm a fan of this deal because Damian Williams I thought was fantastic last year after he took over when the Chiefs had to part ways with Kareem Hunt, but extrapolating that out over 16 games, I'm not sure you get the same production level. So I think a Carlos Hyde, a big bruising type running back who can also catch the football, would be a great fit for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. He's a good blocker and pass protection, so he gives you a little bit of help there. In 2017, last year with the Niners, 59 catches. So he's somebody who can come out of the backfield, make a play, and obviously with the Chiefs and the way they like to scheme out things, that's a valuable asset. So I think ultimately with Hyde, he's coming off of a down year. He's 28 years old. Chiefs are going to have to pay a premium for him. They should be able to get him on a fairly good deal. And so ultimately, Damian Williams is the guy. They believe in Damian Williams. I know there's all this talk about Le'Veon Bell. The Chiefs have not and do not have interest in signing Bell. The funny thing is, Bell has a lot of interest in signing with them. But it just doesn't matter because the Chiefs have a million other needs defensively. And if you can get Hyde in there, combined with the two other Williams, now you don't have to worry about trying to make sure you draft one. You don't have to worry about maybe spending later in free agency on a guy you don't like as much. So I think this is a wise move by Brett Veach. Bring in Carlos Hyde, get him signed if you can, and then you don't have to worry about the running back position in any meaningful way until you get to training camp.
We're speaking with Matt Verderam, fansided.com, NFL offseason and free agency for the Kansas City Chiefs and across the NFL. I'm glad you brought up Le'Veon Bell because there was a big pop this week. I'm sure you saw it when Chris Jones published a video and he's kind of talking to the phone and he's like, it was kind of like, look who I found. And it's Le'Veon Bell. And I guess they're just hanging out together for some reason. Maybe they're working out or whatever. But look, Le'Veon Bell sat out the entire 2018 season and passed up over $14 million. He just left it on the table. The dollars he's looking for, look, I think he'd be a great fit for the Chiefs, but the dollars he's looking for would be insanity.
Yeah, but, you know, look, there have been some different reports that, hey, the Chiefs are going to be linked to him. It's a situation to monitor. My understanding from everybody I've spoken to on this who would know is there's no way. It's not happening. Now, I know Press Taylor, obviously formerly the star of Yahoo, has reported that since December. He's been all over that, saying there is no chance the Chiefs are signing Le'Veon Bell. I think with the Chiefs, with Brett Veach has showed to be a big game hunter, and I think he's probably in a small, quiet corner of his mind thinking, man, you know what this offense would look like with Le'Veon Bell? Then he stops and realizes like it's just not tenable. They can't go out and spend $15 million a year on a running back. They just have too many needs defensively. They're already so good offensively, but there's really not a point. How much better are you going to get
right
by bringing in Bell? So I think the easiest route of improvement for this team is obvious, and that's defense. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see. Look, they're not going to go after Bell. That's a pipe dream. The more interesting thing is, how do they fix this defense? Obviously, they're trying to move D Ford. They will release Justin Houston. And then you go from there. How do you then start remaking this defensive unit that finished 31st in the league last season?
Well, we all know when the teams start making their cuts, which there were a ton of cuts this week, and locally we have interest in safeties and corners. And the safety list, I don't know if you'd call it impressive, but there's some good names on there who could fit at the right price. The name that popped first for me, I know everybody ran to the front of the parade, oh, Landon Collins, he'd be great, and a Steve Spagnuolo system. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. The name that jumped off the board to me, which is now off the board, was Eric Weddle. Because, he tortured the Chiefs for years when he was with the Chargers. He tortured us last year when he was with the Ravens in that game. He's a big-time hitter. He's a run stopper. He's a good leader. I think he has the kind of toughness that would help the Chiefs. But he's off the board, so now you have to move down to the next one. I'd be curious to find out if the Chiefs were one of the 11 teams reportedly that had contacted him.
It's been tough to confirm. I can tell you that my understanding was that there's actually 13 teams, which is just obscene. I mean, you're talking about basically half the league
right
had interest in Weddle. But the Chiefs are definitely going to be pursuing help in that secondary. They have to. They don't have a choice. And they cannot go into next year with Eric Berry and Daniel Sorensen and then hoping that Eric Murray and Armani Watts figure it out. I mean, the Chiefs have to aggressively pursue help at safety and corner, and then just go ahead and say, okay, look, how do we fix these issues without blowing our cap to hell? And I think there's a few different ways you could do it. The safety group, I think, is very impressive. And I think, look, everyone's going to point at Landon Collins, and I get it. And the Chiefs have interest in Landon Collins. There's no question about that. But at what price? And I think that's where it becomes really interesting. You have literally a dozen safeties who are interesting to very good players. But the two guys who are going to get paid the most are Earl Thomas and Landon Collins. Now, of those two, I think Collins is a much better fit for the Chiefs at this point. He's younger. He's played under Spagnuolo. He gives the Chiefs something that I think that they could really use. And I believe if they spend big on safety, they're probably cutting Berry post-June 1. I just don't think they're going to carry $25 million worth of safeties. But there are other guys, Tyrann Mathieu, Adrian Amos out of Chicago is a very good young player who you might be able to get on a cheaper deal. So I expect the Chiefs, with this cap money that they end up getting here, with however they handle Ford the next couple of days and then with Houston, I think they are simply fix the back end of the defense. And then come the draft, they have all these edge rushers available to them. That's when my guess is that they will go in and they will say, okay, let's address the edge rushers now and get a guy on a cheap four-year contract.
We're speaking with Matt Verderam, fansided.com, NFL free agency underway, and teams are making signings. We're talking about safeties right now. You mentioned two names, and look, I'm looking at the list of safeties, and it's very long. But the two names that of interest, as you mentioned, Landon Collins and Tyrann Mathieu. And Landon Collins is the big name because he's, what, a three-time Pro Bowler in 4 years, played for Steve Spagnuolo. And Tyrann Mathieu is an interesting case because, you know, he had so much attention coming out of college at LSU where, you know, he had issues when he was there. But he was also an athlete that was able to play multiple positions in special teams. So for me, his skill set is fascinating to me. I think Landon Collins is the run stopper. But when you look at Tyrann Mathieu and what he's done since coming into the league, where are his strengths and how would they fit with the Chiefs?
Well, they were interested in him last year before he signed with Houston. They just didn't have the money. Mathieu's a very interesting player because he in his career has been very versatile. He's played safety. He's played corner at times. He's played in the slot. So he gives you kind of that ultimate chess piece. Now, he was still coming off of that injury to the knee from Arizona when he was with Houston last season. It seemed as though it took him almost 2 years to bounce back from the torn ACL. But as the year went on last year, if you watch his tape in Houston, he played better and better. I think whoever signs him is going to get more of the player we saw earlier in his career in Arizona, which obviously was a Pro Bowler, was a borderline All-Pro. And so I think he's a very interesting guy. He's a rangy player, not as much of a box safety as Collins, more of a center fielder, but can come down and give you some help in there if need be. So I think he's probably cheaper than Collins. He's probably cheaper than Earl Thomas, maybe a little bit more expensive than some of the other guys on the list. Another guy, by the way, just to keep an eye on, is LaMarcus Joyner. With the Rams getting Eric Weddle, Joyner's going to hit the market for sure. And he was somebody who last year everybody talked about and said, he's the best safety on the market, he's going to get paid. And now he's almost forgotten about so many other guys out there. But Joyner's another young guy who kind of is a hybrid, who can play a lot of different ways as your safety. And I think he's an interesting fit for the Chiefs if they decide to go that route.
We're speaking with Matt Verderam, fansided.com, covers the National Football League as well as the Kansas City Chiefs. He was at the Combine in Indianapolis last week. So let's kind of go there a little bit. You mentioned edge rushers are going to be, there's going to be a plethora of them available in the draft. Considering where the Chiefs are, if they do not trade up, which guys did you see would make a good fit in the Chiefs if they switch to this 4-3?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of them. This draft, I had one higher up executive in the league who is a personnel director who basically told me, or did tell me, that he felt there were a dozen edge rushers in this class who were worth a first round pick. So that tells you how deep this class is. I mean, it really is an extremely unique group. There are going to be guys going in the middle of the late second round who, in a lot of years, would go in the late first. So that's what you're dealing with. It's a bad offensive draft for the most part, but it's great at this position. There's a few guys. Now, one guy who probably be a second-round pick for the Chiefs, but I really like a lot, I think he'd be an excellent fit, is Charles Omenihu out of Texas. He's a kid who I saw at the Senior Bowl in Mobile as well. He tested well at Combine. I think he's an excellent fit for the Chiefs, but he would be used with one of their second picks. I don't see him being in the first round. Jalen Ferguson of Louisiana Tech, another interesting guy, another senior, and he actually holds the all-time record in the NCAA for sacks. He's a borderline first-round pick, so he could fall right into where the Chiefs are picking. And then there's some other guys, like out of Clemson, a Dexter Lawrence. Does he get to Kansas City at 29? Clemson's going to have three guys going in the first round off their defensive line. And Christian Wilkins is another one of those players. So the Chiefs are going to have options. Like, there's no question, no matter how the board falls, but when they're on the clock, they're going to have their pick. I mean, there's going to be four, five, six guys there that make sense for them that are edge rushers. The question is just who do they like the most? And is there somebody else on that board they like better? Do they like a corner better at that point? Do they like safety better? But they're going to have options. There's no question.
We're speaking with Matt Verderam, fansided.com. NFL free agency hitting and signings are already happening. The Chiefs are expected to have running back Carlos Hyde in for a visit today, probably go through some physicals, maybe even sign today. You never know how these things work out. The goal is, you know, back in the days when Carl Peterson ran the team, it was don't let him leave the room. That was the rule. Don't let them leave the room, because if they get on the plane, they're not coming back. That's just, because the next team's going to sweeten the pot. So we'll see how Brett Veach manages the situation today. The free agency, it's interesting because, you know, with the management of the cap and the team, I was reading yesterday the money available for the teams. The Colts now have over $100 million to spend, and they can pretty much pick anybody they want. But they're not involved. I haven't heard the Colts come up, and of course they're run by the former Chiefs front office guy. I have not heard the Colts name come up for Le'Veon Bell, for Antonio Brown. So I don't know where they go. They already have a great defense. They need some offensive pieces, but man, they got $100 million to spend, Matt. That's crazy money.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. They and the Jets are both over $100 million. The Colts are the most. And I think you're gonna see those two teams be active. Chris Ballard at the combine, when he spoke to all of us in the media, he talked about, you know, we're not just going to throw money around to throw it around. If there's a player we really think is a difference maker, we're not afraid to spend some serious money. And so I think you're going to see Ballard go all in on a few guys. There's been reports about Tyrell Williams to the Colts, that there's a lot of interest there. But Tyrell Williams is going to get paid. I don't think people realize within NFL circles that he's going to be the highest paid receiver in this free agency class. And there's a real chance he ends up in Indianapolis. The stuff with Bell, it's been quiet. You don't hear a lot with the two teams I keep hearing over and over with Bell are the Jets and the Raiders.
Right.
And so we'll see how that shakes. Although he has a dozen teams interested in him. So there's always a chance that some team comes out of the woodwork and just decides on Monday morning to blow everybody out of the water. But with the Colts, I think they're a lot like the Chiefs. They're going to be looking at defense. They're going to be looking at how can we get an edge rusher. Like when the Chiefs cut Justin Houston, that would make a lot of sense for them. Obviously, Chris Ballard knows Justin Houston. They need an edge. I know they play a 4-3, but in this day and age, with the way everybody's always in nickel, I don't think it matters all that much. But they need to add some guys. I could see them going after a safety to pair with Malik Hooker. They could certainly be looking at a guy like Anthony Barr out of Minnesota, maybe even a Sheldon Richardson or an Ndamukong Suh. So the Colts really need more defensive help than anything. But, yeah, I expect them to be active. At this point, look, they're not too far away from being a serious contender in the AFC, and I'd expect them to try to add some pieces so they can make that push.
We're speaking with Matt Verderam, fansided.com, NFL free agency and Chiefs, who they might be looking at. Of local interest, I don't think the Chiefs would have an interest, but Sheldon Richardson, we've always followed because he was a Mizzou guy. He was one of the top players in the country his final year, but he had some off-the-field issues, and he hasn't been able to find a consistent landing spot in the National Football League. What is his, I don't know, what are his problems? What are his drawbacks? Why is he not sticking? Does he still continue to have these issues where the teams just decide we're better off without him?
I think a lot of times with Sheldon Richardson, it's inconsistency and it's the inability to always have a good motor going. And I feel like I'm just like spouting cliches, but I do think there's a lot of truth to the idea. If you watch Richardson, you know, when he played with the Jets, there was just always a lot of talk locally, and I'm from New York, so I hear it all the time. That, look, he doesn't play hard enough, and I think that has changed some as he's gotten older. I do think he's become more of a pro. But, yeah, he's looking for his fourth team in 4 years. Went from the Jets to the Seahawks to the Vikings. Now he's a good player. There's no question Sheldon Richardson is a good, solid football player. I also think he suffers from the fact that a lot of people thought he was going to be a great football player, and he was for a brief moment with the Jets, but it never fully materialized on a year-in, year-out basis, and so you always have that label of, yeah, he's good, but he should be great, and he's not, and why is that? Whereas there are some guys who are just kind of there, and they're good. They were never expected to be great, so they're not seen as disappointing. They're just seen as good, even though Richardson in reality is probably as good, if not better. So he'll find a home. He'll find somebody, and he'll go out and get paid. But I think at this point in his career, he's just kind of what he is, which is a good, if not at times inconsistent player.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Our guest is Matt Verderam from fansided.com. So I guess I'll kind of wrap it up with this. We can't avoid talking about it because it's 24/7 right now, the Antonio Brown watch. And you and I were both, I think all of us were up late into the night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, when Ian Rapoport put out there that it was close to getting a done deal in a trade with the Buffalo Bills. Now, to give Ian Rapoport some credit here, he never said it was a done deal. He just said
it was, he did not.
He just said it was close. So Look, we've all been there. I've been the victim of bad information before. I think we all have. It's the way it is. You go with the best you have. You try to be as careful as you can. But anyway, so Antonio Brown is not going to the Bills. And the next name that pops up is the Raiders because they have a ton of draft picks.
Right.
They have a need because they traded their best wide receiver last year. So that's a position of need for them. Look, in the AFC West, I would just as soon Antonio Brown not go to the Raiders, but would he fit in with what they have? I mean, he is, considering his attitude this past season, he is kind of a Raidery guy, right?
There's a lot to unpack with this one.
Yes.
All right, so first of all, you're 100% right with Ian Rappaport, and I don't make it my business really to talk about other reporters and writers, but he did not say that it was confirmed. He said there were still hurdles to go, and
right.
I feel for the guy because I will tell you, just as an aside, I report on Monday that the Chiefs would be releasing Justin Houston.
That blew
and
up
it was
on.
Reported
I know.
By, there were a few other outlets that took it as Matt Vergeron is reporting that the Chiefs have released Justin Houston.
Right.
And I probably had, I don't know, 100 notifications every 5 minutes about it. And, you know, now I've had people telling me throughout the week on Twitter, "You're the reason they can't trade him." Like, okay, I don't think I'm the one who signed him to $101 million contract.
Right.
But that being said, right, like, I feel for him because he's taken a brutal beating over this. And the reality of it is he was, you know, ultimately wrong, but he wasn't wrong at the same time. I don't know with Antonio Brown. I don't know what is going to happen, and I don't feel bad saying that because I think this is such a ridiculously unique and bizarre situation. It's extremely strange how all this has played out. I do think ultimately he ends up with the Raiders. I think he would accept going to the Raiders. I think the Bills thing, would he have gone if he got paid? Probably. Money talks, and if the Bills were willing to make him the highest paid receiver in football, yeah, I'm sure he probably would have gone. But a lot of teams are just unwilling to do that. The Raiders are in a very unique situation. They have no stars on that team, unless you include Derek Carr as a star. And at this point, I think the bloom's off that rose.
Right.
They're moving to Vegas in a year. They need to put somebody on the billboard. They've got oodles of cap space. They probably look at it and just go, at this juncture, why not? We need players. We need somebody to sell when we go to Vegas. So I think for them, it makes some sense. They've got 3 first-round picks. If they give one of them up or even their early two, they could maybe, you know, even swing that. So I think he ends up there. My question going forward, though, is he's going to be 31 years old in July. Now, he's shown no signs on the field of slowing down.
Right.
But he's also, his entire career, had Ben Roethlisberger. He's had a very, very good offense around him. He goes to Oakland. Let's face it. You're double-teaming him and saying, beat me anywhere else.
Yes.
Now, he'll still get some. He'll still get his. He's a great player. But how frustrated does he become when there are games where he never is open because teams just totally eliminate him from the game plan? And can he handle that? That is one of the more fascinating questions I will have going through the season if that's where he ends up.
Yeah, this is the final thing I'll wrap up with. I think wherever he ends up, it'll be a fascinating backstory for somebody to dig into someday. But how much it affected his stock. Look, I like when players have power because too many times they don't and their careers are so short. But I wonder how many teams heard that interview on ESPN where he said,
yep,
you know, I don't need football. I can be done. I don't need it. And that's fine if you say that to your friends and family. But to potential employers, that I wouldn't walk into somebody's office who, if I was applying for a job and say, look, I don't need this, but if you want to hire me, great. I wonder how many teams backed out after hearing that.
I just think with him, with the talent in the, if you have talent in the NFL, typically it trumps everything. Okay, teams will put up with almost anything.
Yeah, we know that,
playing, especially at his level, teams will just deal with it. Okay, so he's going to find a home. He's going to go somewhere. My guess is he's still going to be very productive. But there's certainly a real question about, do I want to bring this guy in the locker room? Because what happens if, let's say he signs a 5-year deal, what happens if in 2 years, at 33 years old, he's not Antonio Brown anymore, and he's a guy who's still a good player, but he's not a great player? Does he recognize that? Or is he still going to the coach's office and say, look, I want 130 targets? I don't know. And that becomes an ugly situation. I think the Steelers are put in a brutal and an impossible spot. You almost are compelled to trade him at this point. And that team is a team that really is watching its window close in front of them.
Yep.
They had years and years and years of Bell and Brown and Roethlisberger and then Schmidt-Schuster toward the end of it, and they just never got over the hump. And now, with Roethlisberger aging, with Bell and Brown seemingly leaving, it seems as though the window's slammed shut on them.
And that's fine with us in Kansas City. We're totally good with that. Hey, Matt, I appreciate your time. I know you're off to swimming lessons with your little one this morning, so enjoy that. Hopefully the pool has a heater in it since you're in Chicago. I know you'll be inside, but hopefully it's nice and warm.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt Verderam, fansided.com. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam, and I'll spell it for you one more time, Verderame. Matt, thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Take care.
All right, that's Matt Verderam joining us here on Sports Saturday, talking Chiefs, talking NFL free agency, talking draft and the combine, and all kinds of good stuff. Matt's a good dude, so always like having him on the show. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the hour. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, just a minute or so here before we wrap up this hour and head into hour number two. A couple of quick things on the Chiefs since we just wrapped up with Matt Verderam, who's always fantastic. This morning, Ian Rapoport, yes, that Ian Rapoport, out with a report on his Twitter account, at Rapsheet, that the Chiefs are getting interest in a trade for Dee Ford. Two teams on the list, the 49ers and the Packers. And Ryan Wood, who is the Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, talked to a source who said they'd love to get him. He won't be cheap. Remember, they lost out on Khalil Mack last year. They were bidding right along with the Bears and didn't get him. So maybe the Packers come hard after Dee Ford.
I agree completely.
And then still, what do you do with Justin Houston? Or you still continue with your plans to cut him. Get the cap space? So good stuff from Matt Verderam. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll dive back more into what Matt Verderam had to say about the Chiefs and the offseason moves and this latest information from Ian Rapoport. And then we'll transition to college basketball as Matt Galloway at 10:30 will be our guest. Matt Galloway, who writes for CJOnline.com. Get us set for KU and Baylor, which we will have live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Network pregame at 11:30, tip-off at 1 o'clock. And we'll talk Big 12 championship as well. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah.